Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, what's happening, Rush Nation? You can see I've changed rooms. It'll be a short break in between podcasts, but it's good to be back here on the flagship show. You'll notice it's just me. It is that case for now. I did send a cryptic tweet. I do have one of our Patreons joining us a bit later on as we kick open the fantasy clinic. So what I'm going to do tonight is similar format, go through what was learned in week 5 and look a little bit about some things that I picked up. Very, very interesting week 5 in particular. So just some key trends and things that I've picked out or that I've been noticing and tracking and trying to deep dive and look at in a bit more detail. And then also use that to sort of take some lessons forward. And I'm going to open the Fantasy Football Clinic, and this is where you, the viewers, can join in. You can ask questions. But our patron Paul is going to join us, and he's basically just going to fire some questions at me. He's going to share his thoughts from week 5 from his perspective. And really, it's just a case of an open forum for about 30 minutes or so for people to ask questions, to get involved, and have this a bit more of an open community show for the flagship. So take advantage, you know, take advantage of this time to ask questions and make the most of it. And like I said, just get involved. And if you want to get involved, jump into my DMs, or, you know, you can post a question or comment in the chats. But if you just want to jump on for a few minutes, I know sometimes my good friend Brian Drake is watching, and if he wants to jump on for a few minutes and talk about the Eagles before Thursday Night Football, you know, all of that sort of thing is appreciated. But before we get into the main crux of the show, I do want to talk to you about Manscaped, of course, proud sponsors of our show. Lawnmower 4.0 is used by over 2 million men worldwide. I am one of those. They have an amazing set of products, amazing set of grooming needs, anything from nose trimmers to hair trimmers. You can see my beard probably right now needs that as well. But they also have loads of men grooming products as well that are really great and do help out. So join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped products. By going on to manscaped.com, use the code 5YARD and get 20% off plus free shipping. So yeah, just some things I wanted to pick out that have really sort of stood out for me over the last maybe couple of weeks, but definitely this week they're cementing my thoughts a little bit more. And that is especially around what we've seen this week and some of the offenses. I think, you know, we were sitting here and we're now 5 weeks into the fantasy football season. We now have a good clue in terms of teams that are good and teams that aren't as good. And, you know, starting to get an idea how these offenses are different from the 2020 evolution that we saw to what they are now. So there's a couple of areas in particular that I've really noticed this weekend and over the last week or so. I'm going to start with Tampa. Because why wouldn't I start with the champions? And in terms of Tampa, what I find really interesting about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now is just actually their red zone usage for passing. So it's been pretty common to me and what I've always felt that when it comes to the red zone usage, you tend to think that Mike Evans or Gronk we'll get quite a lot of that. Obviously, Gronk is out and has been out for a couple of weeks, and these numbers have changed. But also, Mike Evans has always been a heavy red zone target who also has those sort of red zone numbers. Now, what I've noticed actually, especially in the last few weeks, is actually that trend has tended to shift a little bit, and that has shifted well towards Chris Godwin. And Chris Godwin is actually getting a huge majority of these red zone targets. So he actually, inside the 20, has 77% of the red zone catches, or red zone targets right now, or red zone catches. So he has caught 77.78. So he's caught seven of the balls. He just also has a really high usage around that area, 9 targets. The only players that have more than him is Cooper Kupp. There's 2 touchdowns down there. And those touchdowns actually came, or one's come inside the 10, one's come inside the 20. And why that's interesting is, again, I thought it would, a lot of it would be Gronk, and obviously Gronk is out. But Mike Evans has only had 6 targets down there. He's only caught 3. And they have the same amount of touchdowns. So actually, when you're sitting there thinking, I thought Godwin would be playing more of this main iteration of competing with Antonio Brown across the middle, Godwin is getting those like quite difficult close contact catches where they're requiring quick movement and, you know, trying to deceive players on a lot of play action, a lot of movement, and those sort of double movements and shift movements. And that's where you're seeing Godwin kind of come into his own and finding a really solid role. So I'd say right now, if you're Godwin owner, you're really pleased with this current trend. You almost don't want Gronk to come back in certain ways because he's getting this huge uptake in usage. And, you know, when I'm reflecting on my ranks, I seem to have always put Evans above because of that touchdown ability. And that seemed to always be Brady's favorite weapon and target. And as a Mike Evans owner, I'd be a little bit concerned that all that work is going to Godwin. But as we'll see on Thursday night, maybe that will change as they're playing the Eagles. And if the Eagles cannot contain the outside, then we might see Evans exploit that matchup a little bit more. But especially against the Dolphins, it was very clear that all that work was going inside and a lot of it was going to Chris Godwin. Another key offense I want to pick up on is Arizona, because these are all parts of offenses that we want to get pieces of. And actually, James Conner is a very, very interesting piece to add right now, because James Conner is actually getting a significant amount of work in the red zone as well. Now, James Conner inside the 20, I'm just pulling up the numbers here, is actually getting a huge percentage of workload. And what he's able to do in that confined space, I mean, he's getting 51%, 51.7% of the work inside the red zone, which, you know, you think, well, he's getting half. The other half is going to Chase Edmonds. But actually, it's not, because Kyler Murray's getting 21, 22% of that himself where he's carrying the ball. So he's actually saying that Chase Edmonds is getting a lot of those carries in between the 20s. James Conner is the guy they're relying on when it gets down towards the red zone, and especially inside the 5. Inside the 5, James Conner has 6 attempts, which leads the NFL jointly with Derrick Henry, but he's actually punched 5 of those in for touchdowns, which leads the NFL with touchdowns inside the 5. He is that bulky goal line back. There's no doubt about this now. When it comes to usage inside the red zone, James Conner now becomes valuable. So whilst he is not this must own from a volume perspective, from that goal line perspective and the way that Arizona continually moved the ball, all right, maybe we didn't see necessarily their best offensive effort on Sunday, but they're a high-powered offense that generate a lot of plays, a lot of opportunities in the red zone. James Conner is going to mop up a lot of those. And he's almost like that 2017 iteration of LeGarrette Blount, where they just literally flood the ball to the goal line. Blount runs it in. You know, James Conner is on pace for 16 touchdowns, 17 touchdowns this season. And I'm not saying he necessarily maintains that pace, but he's clearly got the opportunity to do so. And I think it's quite smart how Arizona are using both of these backs. So I think you'll have the opportunity for Chase Edmonds to continue to get big yardage totals. But again, we're yet to see him score this season. And I don't know where these opportunities, unless he breaks one off, he's almost, and you know, another offense, Tampa, very similar to this, the way that they used Fournette and Rojo last season, is Fournette would get the kind of high value, Rojo would get the kind of yards between 20, and if he breaks one off, great. And I think that's very similar. So it kind of caps Chase Edmonds' upside to very much a mid to low range RB2. But it actually increases James Conner to be a running back 3, but with that running back 2 upside, because he is getting all those valuable touches. So really interesting point. And if you are thinking about players to own, players who potentially you can trade for quite low, James Conner might be a really interesting buy low in Dynasty and redraft formats for not a lot. And he actually has a lot of sneaky upside there as well with that red zone usage. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Another, I don't want to say a concern, but definitely an area where we want to look at now is this Chicago Bears offense. And it is really puzzling. It's really difficult right now to look through the clouds and see what Matt Nagy and what this offense is doing. Because quite frankly, the way that they're using this offense is borderline poor and negligent. And I feel sorry, you know, for Justin Fields, because he really hasn't got anywhere to kind of go with this, because he's basically just being told what he, you know, what he has to do. But we're getting very limited amount of RPO, very limited amount of play action. He's struggling to get the protection that's covering him. And what this means is you've got the league's worst passing offense in the NFL. You've got a team with no game-winning drives. You're a team that has thrown for 566 yards all season. 566 yards in five games. I mean, it is horrible. You know, you got a passing attack of what, 115 yards a game? That's horrific. And what that means is, you know, we keep talking about recession-proof wide receivers, there's very few of them, Allen Robinson. On that kind of volume, he's just completely unusable. I mean, we're at the point now where Allen Robinson is someone you have to put on your bench because there is so little volume to go around here. They have two passing touchdowns on the season. There's nothing here from this team that looks like you can feel comfortable backing them. I mean, the only team that has lower attempts than them on the season is the New Orleans Saints, but at least they've got someone like Jameis Winston there. Okay, they're not going to throw the ball a ton, but Jameis Winston will heave a 40, 50-yard pass every now and again. Just not in Justin Fields' skill set. And I don't really know what the Bears are trying to achieve, because does anyone expect them to win the AFC North over the Packers? Probably not. Does anyone expect them to make the wild card? I mean, maybe you're in contention, but I don't think so from what we've seen. So what have they got to lose playing the rookie? And actually just like scheming to his skills. It just seems to me, I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's worse now. You know, we're not seeing, at this moment, there is nobody other than the running backs in Chicago you can trust or put in a fantasy lineup anywhere, because there isn't the usage. There isn't the volume. Again, we're relying on a passing attack that over five games is averaging 115 yards a game. It's really, really, really poor. They're not scoring touchdowns. We saw this again on Sunday. And it's a real concern. And until things change, we just have to fade this offense completely. We have to fade what they're doing. And we need to look at alternatives and try and find offenses that are potentially underranked and find those gaps, which hopefully we will continue to do and look at. But yeah, just a lot of concerns right now in those areas and trying to think about how we can overcome them. Some positive examples we finally saw Kyle Pitts kind of arrive in the NFL, quote unquote. I mean, it only took Ridley to not travel to London, Russell Gage to be out. You know, everyone's sitting there like, oh, Kyle Pitts, he's a beast. At the end of the day, it's a combination of, well, he had absolutely nowhere else to go because there was no one else to pass the ball to. And on top of that, you also had, I mean, I think Patterson left the game as well, head injury or an injury that left the game for a period of time. You had that. And then on top of that, he still, you know, he produced decent numbers, but the coaching against him, you know, putting a defensive lineman on Kyle Pitts is madness. So at the end of the day, Kyle Pitts, yes, everyone's going to be really excited now. And everyone's going to be like, yes, I got Kyle Pitts. He's going to go off. It's not going to happen. One, he's on bye this week. Two, it's going to give time for Calvin Ridley and all these guys to come back. It took a lot of vacated targets for Kyle Pitts to put up a reasonable tight end performance, a good tight end performance. So don't get too excited. Don't get too carried away with Kyle Pitts. I covered for off the waiver wire beforehand. There's obviously some injuries to Russell Wilson. I've just seen literally breaking news that you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going to be out with an MCL sprain. Looks like he's going to miss time. So, again, you probably have to think about Darrell Williams now as the next man up in Kansas City, and he will be an addition to my waiver wire column when I make that addition later on this week, because he's someone that you definitely have to consider now that he's out, and that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out 4 weeks. Now, other talking points from this week, and we've talked about players potentially coming through in previous weeks. We looked at, for example, some bounce back players over time, and we talked about these stash players, the Terrence Marshall Juniors. Again, we're kind of expecting them to come through at some point. We're not there yet. Kadarius Toney's obviously a really big, he had a huge breakout game. He's someone that you need to be picking up and looking. And that Giants offense isn't as bad as it kind of made out to be. They are moving the football. Yes, again, they're maybe not converting into points, but there is plenty of opportunity there with the right players, the right investment. Saquon's not going to go this week. We've seen that with the injuries. A lot of injuries, especially to running backs right now. So do go get those handcuffs, but it does mean on these sort of teams where there isn't a really efficient or exciting back, that the ball will go in the air a lot more. And I think the players like Kadarius Toney are going to benefit. I think Mecole Hardman, we saw this on Sunday. We think he's someone that will now break out a little bit more and get a bit more usage. But I also think as well, when looking at potential players, Callaway in New Orleans, he definitely looks like he's a player that's going to stay. It's another player you should be targeting on your waiver wires or stashing and keeping away, because Jameis Winston, when he does heave that ball, it only takes a couple of attempts for that to really pay off for you. But as we're looking at the medium to long term, as we're into this situation now, the next 3 weeks are really crucial for fantasy teams. You need to be handcuffing almost any running back, because the rate that they're all going down now, it just takes one injury to really derail your season, but it also is an opportunity to come back. So, you know, you're looking at the waiver wire this week. You've got Darrell Williams, you've got Devontae Booker. I mean, I'd say right now, Darrell Williams is definitely the number one waiver wire app, based on what's happened with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I think definitely looking at what is available on your waiver wires and thinking about those potential opportunities, but not just handcuffing your running backs, but handcuffing potential wide receivers as well. There's some good mid-level wide receiver depth in there. We've already talked about Kadarius Toney, but we've also looking at players like Gabe Davis. If we see something happen to Emmanuel Sanders, and that's something that, you know, it does happen most, you know, every season, couple of seasons or so. But some of our stash plays are starting to come alive now. So, for example, we've seen Rondale Moore. We've had a couple of games now. It's a little bit inconsistent. It all depends on his usage, but he's someone that's going to break through and really start to come through now. We're still waiting on that sort of big breakout from Terrence Marshall Jr., but we're seeing some usage now that it's not showing in the box score, but the routes run, the peripherals are all looking fairly decent and trending towards an area that he will break out the second half of the season. Rashad Bateman, we expect to get activated off IR. He's someone that if you've been snatching him, you should be excited about, especially with this aerial attack. Nobody has more air yards than Lamar Jackson this year, and he's heaving that ball downfield. We'll see how he gets on tonight. But he is someone in particular, Rashad Bateman, that should fill you with some real excitement. But then you've also got, you know, players like Donovan Peoples-Jones. It's just so much going on. And, you know, with these injuries, you need to think about who the next man up in these teams are, almost across all positions, maybe not necessarily tight end, but running back and wide receiver. I wouldn't say quarterback is that important, given the depth there are in most leagues. So think about the next man. Is look at the depth charts and think about if a player went down who's getting very high volume. So think about like Devontae Adams. Is it Randall Cobb? Is it going to be Alan Lazard? Those are the sorts of guys that if something happens to that player, can really turn around and make things changed. another area of the game now really comes towards these bye weeks. And these bye weeks are really crucial. You're going to need to take some shots. If you're a team that is sort of 0-5 or 1-4 after tonight's games, you know, you need to start taking some shots, and spending that fab on players like Tony, who can get you those wide receiver 1 weeks, is absolutely massive. But I think on the whole, when you look at the breakdown of week five, we saw a cross-section of some teams that we knew were good, sort of maybe click into gear and bounce back. A lot of people questioning this Chiefs and Chiefs offense right now. They've had a very difficult schedule, probably the most difficult in the NFL. You never bet against Patrick Mahomes. You never bet against this Chiefs offense. You know, don't overthink things now. We're getting into the bye weeks. Your roster becomes a little bit thinner because of these bye weeks. These next couple of weeks are going to be absolutely brutal. So make some key decisions. Look at those low-powered offenses. So right now, if you have players from the Jets, from the Bears, even from the Saints to a certain degree, the Miami Dolphins, have a look and think, do I actually really want these players on my roster? Is Devontae Parker really the best option if I'm struggling to have a low ceiling, high, not even high floor, mid to low floor guy on my roster? Because people will stash them as their names, but they're not going to help you. If you're 0-5, 1-4, even 2-3, you need to take some shots. Like for me right now, I'd be dropping Devontae Parker and I'd be picking up Kadarius Toney, because Kadarius Toney on his day has wide receiver 1 upside. You can never say that about Devontae Parker. Not with this offense. They didn't look as bad against the Buccaneers. But at the same point, they didn't look great. I mean, they had periods where they looked all right. And Brissett, until he got injured, looked mobile. But, you know, they didn't realistically look like they were going to score on every drive. And Tampa really did. And that defense is struggling. It's struggling big time. And there's a real concern here with how they're moving the ball. The Jets are a bottom five in passing and rushing offense. The same with the New York Jets. New York Jets just aren't moving the ball. And that's not to say that they're bad players. It's not to say that they're players that you should, you know, abandon completely. But they, you know, if you're in a position where your roster is really thin right now, you need to be cutting the likes of Ty Johnson, maybe even Elijah Moore, the Jameson Crowders. These guys aren't going to help you win fantasy championships. They're almost luxury players who, when your roster is nearly complete, they're guys you can take chances on. But actually what you need is high ceiling players. You need to take shots. If you're going to, you know, if you've already lost five games, you lose another game, like, it almost doesn't matter. You're in last chance saloon now. You need to be taking shots on the Kadarius Tonys. You need to be taking shots on the Darrell Williamses, on the Damian Williamses. Even Devontae Booker to a degree, because at least he starts. Yes, he's not necessarily the sexiest pick, but over what's on the wide receiver on the waiver right now, he's almost a flex play by default, just on the volume he's going to get. If like Rondale Moore, I'd be only Rondale Moore over a high number of players right now, just because of what he has the ability to do. If I'm in a position where I'm a little bit stronger and I'm in playoff contention, I'm adding the Tim Patricks of this world and the players who do have that safe floor that could produce AJ Green, who might not produce those wide receiver 1 weeks, but are going to be consistently performing at a wide receiver 3 with a wide receiver 2 upside sort of level. So that's the kind of review of the week. That's some takeaways. We'll cover some more off now. I want to bring Paul into the discussion because I know he wants to ask some questions. And I know I'm also keen to hear from you if you're tuned in right now. You know, I have got a question from Michael in the chat. He's just asking me if I would change anything. I mean, he's got a deep team. Like, I mean, no. But if you want to know about some strategy, you want to ask how we can try and improve, not necessarily start sit questions, but looking more at a strategic point of view, then we can definitely go ahead and cover these off. Type some questions in. You know, even asked to be involved and we can get you on potentially. We'll have a look. So I'm just going to bring Paul in now. Paul is one of our patrons. Paul, how's it going, my man? You all right?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Good to have you. We are live. So I've always wanted to do this. You're live on the internet, so please do not be there. the family show. My Davina McCall, big brother.
I was going to say, you remind me of Davina McCall, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's just the hair, isn't it? It's close, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, thanks for joining. But I wanted to bring you on. I wanted to try and get a couple of the patrons on, and coincides with some of them sort of bedtimes and a bit of it was short notice, but just to talk through what your thoughts were on week 5. Obviously, quite a strange week, a lot of injuries, some low scoring games mixed in with some really silly high scoring games. What your sort of key thoughts and takeaways were, and how that affected your sort of fantasy teams?
So I had a very up and down week 5. I took my first loss in my home dynasty league. That was a tough one to take. But it's so mad. There's so many injuries. And you just, every week I'm sort of doing my waiver article, just sort of thinking, oh my God, I'm just adding a new player every time just to replace a main running back. You know, Edwards-Helaire going down this week, Saquon going down this week. And it's just, I'm just like, is it me, or does it just seem like there's so many more injuries this year than there is normally at this time? I don't remember this many injuries last year to such significant players. But all in all, I think week 5 was pretty good for me. I think I did better in my dynasty leagues than I have done in the last few weeks. But the toughest loss of the week is the 5-yard listener rules mania league, where I lost to you, Merv, after you started Dalvin Cook and Calvin Ridley, who are both out.
I should caveat this. There's no bench. So Calvin Ridley was on waivers. So someone dropped him because he's on bye next week. So someone thought, well, I can't use him for 2 weeks. So I went and got him off waivers. And Dalvin Cook was out because he's only out for this week. And I was like, well, I don't really want to lose Dalvin Cook because there's no bench. So it's either you start him and get a zero or you drop him. My logic on getting Ridley was, well, I might not win this week, but I might win next week. If I can go 1-1 over the next 2 weeks, I'll take that. And then I've got Calvin Ridley, who is a potential wide receiver 1 going forward. At worst case, a wide receiver 2. And then Davante Adams decided he was going to pop up. And there's some crazy scoring with it. It's basically...
Is it four points per reception?
Yeah, 4 points per reception for wide receivers. So Davante Adams scored 70 points, and that helped a lot. That is a tough loss for you, and I feel for you because it didn't play to obviously I didn't play to win. Of course I played to win, but I wasn't expecting it. But it's a crazy league. Rules mania league, yeah. Absolutely rule. Yeah.
Tough one, but no, ultimately, mate, there's in all the other leagues I've done okay, but the ones I've done really bad in, like my home league, Dynasty League, I've lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week, and I'm very weak at running back, and that's left me in a position now where I'm just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? My starting running backs next week are going to be Miles Sanders. And that's not a great position.
No, I was just talking beforehand that you're going to be adding that. In Dynasty, it's harder because if people own Darrell Williams, if people own Damian Williams, if people own... I doubt anyone owns Devontae Booker. If anyone owns Devontae Booker in your Dynasty League, then they probably need to get their head examined.
I'm going to check that right now.
Yeah, unless it's a super deep league. I mean, I actually am in a league where I do own Devontae Booker. In fact, I drafted Devontae Booker because I just thought, yeah, Saquon will go down at some point.
He is actually owned.
Well, there you go.
He's owned. Darrell Williams is owned.
I'm just reading that Tyreek Hill has a minor knee injury but does not expect to miss time.
So, Ryan's on the COVID list as well.
Yeah, so it looks like he's not going to play this week either. I don't know how much of that matters if the fact that the Mixon played. I know that he outsnapped Mixon. I think it was 49-10, but a lot of it was I don't think Mixon was in great shape to carry a workload.
Yeah,
but he scored a touchdown, so you know if you started him, you did all right. But I wanted to get you on just to, because when I kind of opened this sort of fantasy football clinic, and you know we do this in the Patreon, we chat a lot about strategy, and we do a Patreon cast, and there's a lot of things that we do. But I know you in particular obviously like to ask questions, and I know that you'll have questions that other listeners will have. So I kind of want to go through, you know, what your thought process, what you kind of want to know now. We're 5 weeks in, we kind of know who the good teams and the not so good and the kind of average teams are. And some of the things that you would want, that you think would be useful to know as a fantasy owner, that are going to help you maybe move from a team that's not in contention to maybe playoff contention and maybe get there, or help you get into the playoffs, or just get you through the next few weeks, or whatever it is that's going to kind of move the needle forward.
Yeah, so one of the big questions I've got at the moment, and I think I asked you this earlier, is I think it was the other day actually, is what do I do with Kittle? Because I've got Dawson Knox on my bench, and you said to me, you said you just can't not play Kittle, and obviously I was handed him on IR and stuff. But what do I do with him? I'm just, you know what I mean. I'm like, I can't keep benching him, but I can't keep playing him because he's just hurting my team.
Well, he's on IR, so you can obviously put Kittle on IR for the next few weeks, and that will always help you. I think, you know, after that, I think this Dawson Knox streak, I know he scored again, 3 for 117 and one last night. You know, I don't think this streak of touchdowns Dawson Knox is going to continue all the way to the end of the season. And I think that by that point, Trey Lance will get his groove back. I mean, one of the good things with this IR, it does coincide with the bye week for the 49ers. So it's actually one potential less missed game. Because of that bye week, I think it's a case of you have to play Kittle most weeks, but wait till he's fully healthy. So even the first game back, you might be hesitant and you can start Knox. But I think you have to, by that point, you got the one thing with IR is it buys you time. You've now got 3 weeks to see if Dawson Knox is putting up 317 and one every week, then no, you definitely don't drop him. But I think at this point, the situation will kind of resolve itself out. And it kind of has. When you asked that question, the next thing that happened was Kittle went on to IR, and you haven't really, you can punt that conversation. And I think it's, but it also holds true to those who maybe don't have George Kittle and have Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts. I know Kyle Pitts had a great game yesterday. I touched upon it already. But I think, you know, the way I always look at it and the way I've always played this game, whether it's right or wrong, is if you drafted a player in the first five rounds, you drafted them to be a starter on your team. Therefore, if you don't start them, I have to question why you drafted them in the first five rounds, because that's the staple of your team. Even if the exception to that now would be Allen Robinson, because of that, the usage on this unique situation of the Chicago Bears is so bad, where they're putting up less than 115 passing yards a game. That's a very different scenario, which is something that cannot be predicted or planned for. And I think it has to be something that drastic that would cause me to drop a top five round player, or injury, or disciplinary reasons. They're kind of the only things. So I think if you've drafted a player in the first five rounds, you have to play them out, unless there's just something really weird, like what's happening in Chicago. So, for example, what's happening in Chicago makes everyone there unplayable. It's completely fine, because you can't rely on Allen Robinson to be good on 115 passing yards a game. Like, he's not going to survive. At some point, you would expect that. Yeah, but at some point, that will auto-correct. It's just how long will it be? So, yeah, it's just something to watch. But I'm just, the tight end position is a difficult position to navigate. I keep saying this is why I don't like to draft tight ends high, because you are forced into making those kind of decisions. I always just rely on, is always a guy on the waiver wire you can pick up. This week it's David Njoku. But every week there's always someone you can pick up that will just fill a hole. Because it doesn't take a lot to be better than 75% of the tight ends at the position. Like, no one drafted Dalton Schultz. You drafted Dalton Schultz right now. You picked him up early in the waiver wire. Like last week, he was still only 4% owned. You picked up Dalton Schultz last week. Or Dawson Knox last week was only 5% owned.
Yeah.
Like you picked up one of them last week. You're absolutely laughing for the rest of the season. You don't have to worry. Last season, it was Logan Thomas and Robert Tonyan. But it's the same story every season. There's always a guy on the waiver wire early in the season who will just do you a job. So that's, you know, if nothing else, it's a great lesson not to draft tight ends early that aren't called Travis Kelce.
Yeah, yeah. And doing my own blog this year has helped me realize that, because I was always somebody that was like, oh, I need to get a tight end in now. I need to get a tight end in now. But actually, every week I'm finding a name that I can talk about and go, well, actually, he's not that much owned. I could definitely pick him up every week. So I'm looking at that going, I don't think I'm ever going to draft tight ends early ever again. Like you said, unless your name is Travis Kelce, I just don't think I'm ever going to reach for somebody that early. And I'm somebody that does. I'm a bit of a reach in me.
Like, no, and I think that's key. I don't like the way my rosters turn out when I do it. That's the bottom line. I don't see where they help. But is there anything else that sort of right now across? Like what you think what you'd like to know now that is going to help your team in the next 3 to 4 weeks going forward?
Yeah. So the other one was if you're 0-4, not many leagues I'm 0-4, but there are a couple. Would you look at that and go, I could still put together something that could potentially maybe I could sneak into the lower end of the playoffs and jump in there? Or would you just accept and go, do you know what? I'm 0-4. I've not really got a team that is worthy of competing. I'm just gonna tank now and accept it.
Yeah, I would never accept it. It's the type of player I am. Of course, if you play in 20 leagues, then that's very different. You might go, well, actually, it's strategically advantageous to not do much in that league, because it gives me time to focus on other leagues. But let's assume you only have a couple of leagues and you're 0-4 or 1-4. There's three things that I think you can do right now that will get you in. Now, first of all, I should say that I have had 0-5 teams get into playoffs. I had a team last year that was 1-6. I got into the playoffs at 6-7 on points scored and then won the playoffs. Like, it can happen. It's rare. It will annoy the crap out of people, especially when the person you beat in the championship game is undefeated. Like, that annoys people. But at the end of the day, it's fantasy football. Anything can flip on the toss of a coin. Like, it really can. It's why we love the game. If it was so predictive in its own nature in that regard, you wouldn't play it, because you would just give up after 4 weeks and 5 weeks. And there are three fundamental things I think you can do right now as an owner. I'm not saying they're going to work, but I'm just going to say the things that I would do that would give you every opportunity to succeed. And listen, it might blow up in your face. It might not work. But at least what you'll do when you get to, I don't know, week 10, and you might not make the playoffs, is go, I threw everything at it. And I always am okay with it. If I threw everything at it, it didn't work. It's fine. I'll rest easy knowing that I did everything I could. Then going, well, I'm just did crap this year. See you later. I don't know. But the three things I would do. One is I would look at what my tradable assets are. And what I mean by that is you have to look at your best players. And what you need to think of is the sum of all parts is greater than the individual. So if, for example, you've got a Christian McCaffrey, you've been dealing with his injury. Yes, right now you might not be selling from the biggest position of strength. But he's a guy that realistically puts up 20 fantasy points a game. You could trade him to a contender or a mid-table or whoever it might be team who might be able to offer you three serviceable players in exchange for Christian McCaffrey. And they might just be all bench players to that team, or one starter and two bench players. But if they make your team better, that's something you need to consider. This is true of quarterbacks. If you've got a Josh Allen, a Kyler Murray, this is true if you've got a Dalvin Cook, it's true if you've got a top wide receiver, whatever it is that kind of makes up your elite players. because every team will have one. Every team had a first round pick and a second round pick and a third round pick. Every team will have one really good player. It's just the odds of the game. So it's about taking that player and shopping them around to see what the best deal is. And what you want to get is try and get three players back. And you might lose a 20 point per week player, but if you can get players who might score 12 to 15 points a week across three positions, and you've currently only got players there that are scoring, say, 8 points, it gives you a 7 to 10 point gap advantage on three positions. So that's 30 points versus the 20 points you're trading, your net 10 every week. That's kind of how you have to view it. That's something I would do. I've done this hundreds of times. It always looks a bit weird. The other team obviously has to drop players, or you have to drop players. But if you're 0-6, you've probably got players that you can drop. So yeah, you'll have to drop some players, but I'm sure you've got players you can drop. Like, I don't think it's hard. That's the first thing I do. The second thing I do is I take the best player on the waiver wire, regardless of whether I need them or not. Because you should have the best waiver priority. So I take the best player, whether I need them or not. So if the best player that week is, it'll be Damian Williams this week. I might be stacked at running back. I don't care. One, I'm sure you can get him into your flex. But let's say you can't. I'll trade him. You want to acquire tradable assets. Whether or not you need the player or not, it's much better to get Damian Williams and actually get something back. Like, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner will probably give you something better for Damian Williams than what the... And you know what? If you're number one on the waiver wire priority, guess what? You can actually do this before you put the claim in. Hey, look, I'm going to take Damian Williams. I'm going to take Darrell Williams. I'm going to let you know now. But I'm open to trade him to you. What will you give me for Darrell Williams? Because if, let's say, for example, you get Emmanuel Sanders back and you're short a wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be much better and more useful to you than Darrell Williams is. Everyone wins. He gets cover for the running back position he needs. You get a player that's better than what's available on the waiver wire right now in Emmanuel Sanders. Everybody kind of wins that situation. So if you got the first claim or the second claim on the waiver wire priority, I'd be shopping that claim. Effectively saying, I'll take the pick for you. Who do you want? What are you going to give me in return? And I'd be working it quite clearly. So take the best player available on the waiver wire, because that person will always be worth more on a trade asset. And then the other thing is, because trading is really difficult, is on the waiver wire, just take shots. I would literally, my entire bench would be people I could just get rid of. I could just literally be like, I could take or leave them. But I want to be getting every high upside player I can. So like Kadarius Toney is an absolute must this week. Rondale Moore would be an absolute must this week. I'm not taking average players or names. Rashad Bateman, if he's out there, I'm absolutely taking Rashad Bateman on my waiver wire claims over someone else. You know, I'm not fussed about the Traquan Smiths if he comes back. I'm not fussed about, and I know I sort of said this earlier, about Alan Lazard, in the sense of if Davante Adams gets injured, that could be quite a decent move. But I'm not worried about anyone from Detroit, for example. I'm not worried about Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's not going to be a big player. I'm not worried about the De'Ami Browns. I'm not worried about the Cedric Wilsons or anyone like that. I'm not worried about Chris Conley or Rashad Higgins or these sort of flash in the pan 1 week players. I want players who, yes, they might score a zero, or they might score 30 points like Kadarius Toney. Like, you might as well throw it all in. I'd rather someone get a zero knowing that they could get 30 points than a guy score 10 knowing that his ceiling was 12. That's kind of my kind of thought process when I'm there. So they're the three things. When you're 0-5, you just have to work harder than everyone else. And you have to decide if you think that's worth your... I'm not saying you have to invest hours, but you have to invest time. Shopping around the league, shop your players around, shop your waiver wire priorities around. Do your research, try and think of where you can execute trades. But it's also fun. I actually find that being 0-5 and trying to turn it around sometimes is more fun than being in a league where you're 5-0 and you haven't got any competition. And you're kind of just waiting for the playoffs. Because especially if you've got teams like that and you get to 0-6, 0-7, 0-8, you kind of know you're going to make the playoffs. So actually what you do between weeks 8 and week 12 don't overly matter. Yes, they do in the sense of, I could get a bye, and but really it's just about maintaining at that stage and trying to keep the train on the tracks. Whereas actually your fun part is now trying to work on an 0-5 team and thinking, where do I get that first win? And then where do I get the next win? And things like your matchups are so important. Like, you need to think about the wide receiver twos in matchups that have really, really good soft matchups. So I'd be targeting anyone that's playing like Miami or Houston, or anyone that's just got quite bad NFL defenses right now. I'd be targeting those matchups.
So you want LaVisca Chenault? You want LaVisca Chenault this week then?
All day
They're
long.
Playing the Dolphins,
especially after what Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown did to the Dolphins on Sunday. Absolutely. LaVisca Chenault is like almost a smash play this week.
Yeah,
I'm not the biggest LaVisca Chenault fan, but I just look at what they did up the middle. And if I was Urban Meyer this week, I'd just put the tape on from Sunday and like, okay, so all the Buccaneers did was did some pre-snap motion and brought guys across and just put Godwin and Antonio Brown out there to catch balls in the middle because they can't tackle. Okay, great. Cheers. I'll just do that to Chenault because I know if I get him into space, he's going to break through and he's going to score. More so than Marvin Jones. Like, I think LaVisca Chenault and James Robinson are going to be in for absolute field days this week. I'm not saying that the Jags are going to win the game, by the way. I think the Miami Dolphins might have too much of them. But my point is, Dan Arnold as well. I mean, Dan Arnold is a great play this week at tight end because they can't do anything up the middle. The linebackers are slow. They don't make a lot of tackles. Yeah, I think right now, like, I don't think the Tampa offense has been particularly good this season. I don't think it's been bad, but I don't think it's been great. And I think they were made to look a lot better on Sunday than, I wouldn't say than they actually are because it's a very deep roster. There just wasn't that many tackles made. You know, Antonio Brown's a good player. Like, don't get me wrong, he might go to the Hall of Fame if he sorts his issues out, but yeah, he was made to look better than he was on Sunday, and Chris Godwin had a field day. I mean, they all did. I mean, it was basically like the Pro Bowl. They just went out there and had a great time.
Yeah.
So, I'd be targeting those sorts of matchups. I'd be looking at the teams that have bad defensive matchups and think about the players I can use. So LaVisca Chenault, as you mentioned, is a great play this week against a bad defense. They're the kind of matchups I'll be looking at. Wide receiver twos against the Cowboys, wide receiver twos against the Giants to a degree, although I think they are a slightly better defense than some mentioned. Matchups become important, and follow those matchups and think about where you can exploit and make differences, because they could be worth anywhere from 4 to 10 points difference in a week, and that could be a difference between a win and a loss.
Yeah. I've got one more question written down, and sure. It is, what is your value on DeAndre Swift?
In Dynasty, I assume you're asking this, right?
Yeah. Dynasty.
It depends on the team.
I've been targeting him, and the league I'm targeting him, the trade just keep getting rejected, and I'm just like, I'm offering that everything with the kitchen sink and all, like, you know, and I'm just like, am I overvaluing him or am I undervaluing him or something? Because I'm thinking he's up there in the top 4 or 5 next year in Dynasty startups.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go that high.
Do you not?
No. And I think anyone that takes him there is naive. He's going to finish as an RB1 this year. But he's going to finish as an RB1 because Jared Goff is a borderline NFL starting quarterback. And that offensive weapons wide receiver, that's probably the worst wide receiver room we might see. I don't want to say in our lifetimes and get into hyperbole here. It's as bad as a wide receiver room I've ever seen in the NFL in the 20 plus years I've been watching it. If anyone has anyone worse, then please write in and let me know. Without injuries, of course. the problem with them isn't the case of DeAndre Swift DeAndre Swift's a good player, don't get me wrong, he's a good player. He was one of the top four running backs last year, rightfully so. He was taken onto a team that perhaps needed that, and you know, it made sense. A lot of it makes sense. The offensive line's not too bad, but I think he is the king of a situation that is not going to be that situation next year. If it's that situation a year from now, you have to fire everybody because they have not done their jobs. You have to fire the GM, you have to fire the coach, because there is no way you can go into next season. You might have to play Jared Goff purely from a cap perspective, right? Because of how much money you're paying him and how many assets. But you've also required assets to take him, which include picks. Because his contract was that bad, the Rams had to hand over picks. So you could move away from him and effectively have bought draft picks, which is what Cleveland were very good at. But you're looking at a quarterback in Jared Goff, who was stone dead last in completed air yards at 3.7. His intended air yards is below average. He offers very, very little in this. I mean, he just doesn't offer you a lot. He's the king of the check down at the moment. Because there's so little, and it's not entirely his fault, because it's void of talent. But it's all going to change, whether they change quarterback, whether they change, that's on the table. But they're going to have to change the wide receiver room. They're either going to draft wide receivers or they're going to sign free agents. And DeAndre Swift will suffer because they will not run the ball as heavily. It's very similar to kind of what Jacksonville were last season. Jacksonville were quite, I wouldn't say devoid of talent, but they struggled to move the ball last year with Gardner Minshew at times. And everything went through James Robinson. They improved that situation through the draft and free agency. They signed Marvin Jones. They signed Laviska Shenault, who was injured and missed quite a lot of last season. He is now back. They got Travis Etienne. All right, he's not able to play this year. But the whole point was that offense was not going to go through James Robinson this year. It happens to have done through a bizarre set of circumstances you couldn't have predicted. That's why I don't think DeAndre Swift I don't think anyone's taking him in the top five next year. I don't think anyone's going to give him that respect. Well, I mean, if you do, great. I mean, I'll say to you now, I think you'd be reaching, because I don't think he's going to get the respect. Because he's not on a good team.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that similar ilk to David Montgomery. People will look at that and say, well, the situation is why he achieved what he achieved, or the schedule is why he achieved what he achieved. No one's going to look at him and think that the great talent progressed it all. And maybe that's unfair, maybe that's not. I don't really know. But I don't, you know, for me, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, all those guys, before we even get to rookies and young second-year players, will be picked well ahead of
DeAndre. Even in Dynasty, you're going to go...
Yeah, even in Dynasty, because Dynasty running backs, again, you're looking at a 4 to 5 year window. He's going to be at the end of year two. He's already had injuries. You're looking at maybe two good years. And also, I don't know if I'm investing in Detroit. I don't know if I want to be investing in that offense unless something drastic happens in the next 12 months, because they're still not going to be a good offense, even with first round picks, because they might have the first overall. I don't think they will, but there's a chance they could have the first overall pick. You know, typically when they get the first overall pick, this next class isn't full of great talent. There's some good players in it, but they're not great players. I don't think it's as good as the previous two or three classes, at least from what I've seen. That situation is not going to improve. I wouldn't say it's going to transcend into a top 10 offense overnight. And so when that happens, do I really want to be actively acquiring pieces for lots? Now, if you're trying to win this year, it's worth throwing your weight in. And, you know, going back to your initial question of how much is Swift worth, it really is how much you're willing to pay versus how much is it worth for the other person to part with. If the other five, a first round and a second round pick should probably be close to enough. maybe with a stopgap player to help them. If a team is sort of mid-table with some aspirations to playoffs, it might not be. You might have to throw future picks out there. But I think a first in 2022 is the absolute minimum, with maybe a second. If you're gonna contend, your first round pick is not gonna be worth as much. If you end up winning the league, your first round pick's essentially a second round pick. So actually, then the value of him is, again, it all kind of depends on how it works. I would say the key dynasty window kind of opens next week, and I think it opens for the sort of next 4 weeks. And I think Swift is the sort of person, depending on the team you're trying to trade with, where the price might go down, it might go up. I would tend to think that you're more likely to get some love to sell him if that team falls to six losses, maybe even seven losses. I think that team will then be more inclined to sell, because they need to rebuild for next year, and to do that they need assets. That's what I think. But I'm never a big fan of trading for a rookie running back unless I think that rookie running back is going to deliver me a title. Because I say rookie, I mean like a young on a rookie contract, or any running back. Because they only have 3 or 4 years, really. Derrick Henry is the exception. There is a few that carry that on, but most running backs tend to not go too far beyond 5 years of increased productivity before they fall off a cliff. And there are a few rare exceptions, but how many 30-year-old running backs are hanging around the NFL right now?
There's not many, is
there? Where there's a wide receiver, you're always going to get that value, because a wide receiver doesn't really become in their prime until they're 27, which is 4 or 5 years into the league. And even then, they can still play another 5 years. You know, a wide receiver life is 10 years. A quarterback life is 10 to 15 years if they're these good to great players.
Unless they're Tom Brady.
A running back, a top elite, yeah, exactly. But a top elite running back, if you get 5 years out of them at elite production, that's incredibly rare. You're more likely to get three. And if you think with Swift, he was injured last year, so this will be one. You may be buying 2 years of good production. If it all works out, that's kind of the best you're going to get. And let's not forget, they went out and got Jamal Williams. They were looking at more running backs. All right, they didn't push that trigger, and Swift has come out there. But don't be surprised if they go shopping for a running back next summer and go and add another back to this backfield, because they've already shown, this staff here has already shown that they're willing to do that. So I would just be cautious about throwing all in on DeAndre Swift, despite how well he has produced this year, because I think that entire offense is different in 12 months. And it wouldn't shock me if they went with a three-headed monster and went with, you know, similar to what you see in the Colts, and have three backs that share the workload. And Swift will be severely capped from that bell cow workload that I wouldn't say he's quite getting now, but he's as close to. I don't think the situation's ever as good for him again as it is right now.
Yeah.
But that's not to say don't trade for him. You should definitely, if your team is contending, definitely contend. It's been good. I hope this has been useful. It's been useful to you and to everyone listening. Thoughts on what we've covered off? I feel like we've done a big
I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it, mate. It's strategy is always a big thing for me. It's, you know, I listen to quite a few podcasts, and you hear a lot of people that sort of say, oh, when you get to 0-4, that's it. You're done. Tank. And, you know what I mean? Start selling everything off. I'm like, oh, I'm only 4 weeks in, you know, it's a long season. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to know what I can do to maybe try and turn it around. And I think what you've said is really, really helpful in me actually turning an 0-4 team into, do you know what? I reckon I could sneak into the playoffs here. Bit of graft, bit of effort. I'll turn it around and have a go. And like you said, if you don't, you don't. At least you can finish that season going, do you know what? I did what I could in every league, whether I was losing, whether I was winning, I did what I could to have a go.
Yeah, and I also think on that you'll learn less in one way or the other. You'll learn what works and what doesn't work, right? I always think whenever you're in a situation, you might be 0-5. You know, next year, if you're in 0-5 this year and you go 0-5 next year, what are you going to do differently? And like, if you've been through that experience before,
stop writing a blog. Stop telling people how to do things.
Absolutely not. Listen, I've got an 0-5 team. Like, it happens. My UK Bucks group, I'm 0-5. Like, it happens. You can have a great draft. You can execute a great plan, and it doesn't work. That's the great thing. We're not talking about robots. We're talking about people, and sometimes these things do happen. It's about what you try and do. And I have, unfortunately, that 0-5 team, I am struggling to think what I can do to get better, because I look at the players on the waiver wire and think, actually, they're not much better than what I've got, despite the fact I'm losing. It's a combination of injuries and a few other things. But I think, yeah, you just got to shoot your shot. I'm going to start trading in that league. I think that's the bottom line. I think that's how I will solve it, because I still have players who I think will have good seasons, but I need to change it. And I think that's, you just have to try different levers. And like you said, what works, works, and what doesn't, doesn't. You'll think about that and do it differently the next time round. But I almost think of it as preseason. Take a hit on players, see what happens. And the strategy side will always benefit you, because when you end in that situation again, you'll know what to do. Or more importantly, you'll know what not to do if it didn't work. If it did work, you'll know what to do. If it didn't work, you'll know to do something differently than the previous time. And those kind of reps will always help you in how you do things. So I appreciate you coming on. And like, the reason I did this is, and I want to do this more, maybe with some of the other patrons or other people, maybe come back, Paul, as it's hard sometimes when you've played football, fantasy football, as long as I have, to think about almost what it's like to be like on that side of things, in the sense of I kind of just see the game in a different view now, because I podcast and I write and talk about it, and I kind of live and breathe it, that I kind of forget some of the more day-to-day questions, because it's almost like muscle memory. So I have to sometimes think about, well, what do people need to hear and how can I help? So I appreciate it, because it kind of brings me back into that world. So, and I love talking the strategy stuff. So you mentioned you got a blog. Where can people go and find that blog and reach and interact with you as well?
Yeah, just come and find me on Twitter there, at Paul_Picking. Come and find me. DMs are always open. I've just put my week 6 waiver wire article out. I started last week a bit of a start of the week thing with my brothers, where we do a head-to-head-to-head. We all pick our starts of the week, and we're going to have a forfeit at the end of the year. And I believe it was suggested that one of us has to do a Juju Smith-Schuster TikTok video dance and post it online. So I don't know where that'll go, but yeah, come and find me. I'm always up for a chat, always up for a laugh, and just enjoy the game.
Yeah, you're a great bloke, and I've enjoyed getting to know you this season. Thank you very much for supporting the podcast and being a patron. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to all the 5-yard guys. So, thank you. I'm glad that you're able to do this and come on. And, you know, it's my way of really saying thank you.
I enjoy coming on, mate. I enjoy coming on. It's good. Nice.
Well, we'll get you back on again at some point. So thanks, Paul, for joining. Thank you for watching. I hope that it was a bit different this week, and I want to do some of these fantasy football clinics. So do you know what? If there's a topic you want me to cover off in future, please do do send it in via DMs and think, I would really like to know this, or I'd really like to talk about that. It would be really invaluable to me and to the show. So please do. I want to have more audience participation. I want to know how we can help you, and reach out, and I'll do my best. It's so much better than start sits, because most of the start sits get asked, you know, I just forward you to my rankings. Because they will answer most of the questions. They're in 3 different scoring formats. It's got almost everything you kind of need. You know, you don't need me to tell you that I've got one player ranked slightly higher than the other. It's there on a website. But 2 more things. 1, please do check out Manscaped. Please do. They're great sponsors, and they keep the lights on. So please do check out manscaped.com. Christmas is coming up. You can't get early enough, in my opinion. So, you know, treat someone to some lovely products at manscaped.com with the code 5yard. And I know I've dropped the Christmas word far too early, but do you know what? Someone's got to, and it might as well be me. I'm also trying to get rid of this Scrooge vibe that I've earned over previous years. The last thing is actually a bit of news about the podcast itself and this particular show. So moving forward from next week, we're going to have a new host. I'm not going anywhere. Don't worry. I'm still going to be here. As you know, Stocks is currently doing the college podcast. He's been doing this for, he's going to be doing that, I think, for a little while longer. And I don't know when Stocks, he will be back on the show at some point. I don't know when that's going to be. And it's very difficult to be a host and an analyst and to answer your questions and to host the show and to get a guest on. And so I want to bring on a host who's going to hold the show together and I think improve this show even more. And I'm really pleased to say and announce that my good friend Dan Hughes is going to be joining us and will be our new host of the flagship show starting next Monday. Dan's well known in the community. He's an absolutely brilliant bloke. I've known Dan for a few years. I'm blessed to call him a friend. He's someone I know and I have that sort of rapport with. Does mean you might get some more Bucks talk, Rush Nation, which I know some of you are going to absolutely deplore. But at the end of the day, Dan's a great guy. I'm really pleased that he's agreed to come and do this till the end of the season. We see where we are. But I know you'll all welcome him with big arms. So, if you know Dan, drop him a message and give him some support, especially as we go live next week with not a revamp. It's going to be the same show. But we are just going to have a new man in the chair in Dan, who's going to host the show, and he's going to do a great job. And very excited to have him. So there's just a bit of news from there. But Stocks will be back at some point. We don't know when, but it will happen. And yeah, thanks as always for continuing to support the show and watching it. And I look forward to helping you all through week 6 and beyond. Great content coming tomorrow with the Dynasty Guys, the fan team DFS podcast, which is going from strength to strength. And if you haven't checked that out, please do. The game show will be back on Wednesday. I am 3-1 now. I've won 3 in a row. Paul is deliberately gutted because he was on earlier on in the season and lost. It was a close game on Sunday, but I pulled away with a W. I do have another great guest of and friend of mine on who I'm absolutely delighted to take on and play alongside. So that will be back on Wednesday. IDP will be here on Thursday. So lots and lots going on. The college guys are going to be on in 15 minutes time. So please stay on the channel and go and watch them. You can catch and get your Stocks fix there. I know he would love to have you and see some messages from you on there. So please do interact. But that's it for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And from Paul and I, till next week, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.